You ask me.
All right, fabulous. Well, it's good to see everybody. This is the first of a series. So first of all, I want to thank Joe and Pamela for hosting tonight.
It's nothing.
But no, I'm very excited. I think this is going to be a great class. I know that in many, many, many circles, and I myself am not one of these guys, but in many circles, the Marvel universe and the DC comic universe, it's like, it's almost another religion. People are so into it. This superhero and that superhero, and heaven forbid if you mix up which one is DC Comics and which one is Marvel. Oh my God, that's like, you know, you're confusing different religions already. It's like, what do you mean? That's a Christian belief. What are you talking about? So I'm not going to go down the road of actually discussing which superhero is in which universe, right? But the concept, because it's so hot right now, I did a search of what the top 10 movies or the top 20 movies, whatever it was, in the last 6 months. There's so many of them that are related to superheroes and the Avengers, and I don't even know this stuff. As a kid growing up, my comics were not the superhero ones. I was more into Richie Rich and Archie and Jughead. I mean, that was, you know, the brainless, stupid ones that don't ask you to think and be creative. It's just dumb jokes. That was my universe. So I didn't know from this stuff. But it's hot. It's a big seller right now. So I figure, where are they getting their ideas from? They must be getting it from a source. This is nothing new. And I thought more about it. And I said, obviously, they're getting them from stories in the Torah. Of course, that's where all of these superheroes get their powers from. You think I'm kidding? I kid you not. Listen to this. Listen to a fascinating piece of information. I'm going to read you the following. Tell me who it's talking about. You ready? His people faced destruction. They sent out a baby boy, placing him in a box to ensure his survival. He grew up to be a hero, a savior, able to achieve feats that no ordinary man could do. Who are we talking about?
Superman,
right? Yeah. Watch. I'm going to read the exact same thing, but now I want you to think Moses.
I did already.
It's exactly the same story. It's exactly the same.
Or Moses.
Exactly. It's the same story. And if you read the original creators of so many of the superheroes, like Spider-Man was a Jewish creator. The director of the film was Jewish. And where does Peter Parker live?
Queens,
New York, for heaven's sake, Forest Hills. They're all Jews. If you look over the list of the originals, you know, the comic book pioneers, if we can use the term, it reads like a shul mailing list. Siegel, Goldberg, it's all the names. These people, I'm telling you, this is not a coincidence. There's so much of it that is relatable, and that if you look at the Torah, you find these things. That's what's there. It's all packaging, let's be honest. The stories in the Torah are exactly the same, whether you're studying it as a Torah Bible study, or you're looking for a creative concept for the next Hollywood blockbuster. It's all there. It's a matter of perspective and marketing. So that's what I figured. If this is the hot topic of the day, then let's market it and talk about heroes and villains, because that's what people are into today. There is no dearth of villains and heroes in the Torah. Our job is to look at these stories after we get an understanding of what heroes and villains are, and then try to understand what is it special about the hero that we can learn from, and vice versa, what are the villains all about that we need to be careful not to become? That's really the gist of where I came up with this concept. And it sounds simple, and it really is, but I just think it's like a whole different way of, let's look at the stories that we may even be familiar with, but let's put on our Spidey glasses and put on our capes and try to look at it from a totally different perspective. So let's start with the following. I'm going to ask you to help me define, what is a hero? What is a hero in your book, in your definition? What would you say?
Someone who shows courage to help others.
Who shows courage to help others. Okay. It's a good beginning. Can anyone be a hero?
Yes.
Really? Every Joe Schmo, sorry, didn't mean it that way. Does every person can become a superhero? I don't know.
Well, every person has, I think so. I think if every person has the ability to do tshuva, if every person can, you know, has unspoken or unwitnessed potential, I mean, why not?
So how come they're not making movies of you and me?
Yeah. I beg your pardon.
They don't make movies and books and comic books about an average person. This hero, this superhero, has some kind of special superpower. The average person walking along the street doesn't necessarily have a superpower, or do they?
Well, a lot of those superheroes have alter egos where they do walk the street.
Ooh, okay. So now we're getting a little more depth into this conversation. Many of the superheroes have alter egos. Okay, hold that thought. We're going to come back to that. That's an important piece. What else? I'll read you a definition straight out of the dictionary from the American Heritage Dictionary. In mythology and legend, a man often born of one mortal and one divine parent, who is endowed with great courage and strength, celebrated for his bold exploits and favored by the gods. That's the definition of hero in the American dictionary. I don't know. How about a modern American superhero? They happen to be tall, handsome, physically powerful, excellent fighting skills. FDR, as we all know, did not allow photography to show his wheelchair. Why? Because that would give an impression that he's not a superhero, that he couldn't be possibly, no way, a person in a wheelchair, that would convey a certain image of weakness, not power. In a mindset, we think of our heroes, certainly again in the comic universe, we think of it as possessing these qualities of good looking. In Yiddish, they call it gestalt. There's a certain presence that one has to convey. The guy who looks like a zhlub, right? No translation necessary. Just the word itself, you know, lends itself to what it means. A guy who looks like a zhlub is like, no, I don't think so. You know, next, he can't possibly be the CEO of the company. No. That's the beauty of Undercover Boss. You ever see that show? Brilliant. But they make the guy look like a schlub. They make the guy, why? Because there's no way anyone would guess he's the CEO or she's the CEO. I mean, it's just, they make it look the part. Because we have this notion, this image in our head that a That's a hero. That's somebody who is in a position like that. I read a comic, Dilbert, right? Dilbert, great comic strip. And especially anyone in the business world, it makes such great observations of the fallacies and the farces that go on in the business world. He writes in this particular comic strip, he writes about a particular applicant. It says, he possesses no qualifications or training, but he's very tall, so we know he'll go far. He also has executive style hair. We think it will turn silver eventually. That's what we need. No training, nothing. But it's sad, but it is a true fact of the world in which we live, of where we are led to believe. Good looks, handsome, tall, powerful, that equals success. That equals ability. Frail, meager, looking the, I'll pass on that. We live in that kind of society. And from a Torah perspective, it couldn't be farther from the truth. Because that has no bearing whatsoever. Does it make it easier to win over people and to have that certain wow factor and charisma? No argument there. But that's not the essence of the person. I'll give you an example. Who were Moshe's parents? The great Moses. Who were his parents? So if you know the answer, that's great. You're already a step ahead than most. Most people do not know it off the top of their head. They can tell you who Jesus' mother was, but they can't tell you who Moses' mother was. Strangely enough, Jews included.
Is it from like in the Ten Commandments? The movie? Shabbat?
I'm sure it's mentioned there. I can't say I've memorized that movie, but I'm sure it's in there.
Oh, you should watch it. It's good.
I've watched it.
Moses.
I've heard it.
Okay.
But what's his mother's name?
Yochebed.
Okay. In Hebrew, it's called Yocheved. Yocheved is his mother. Fabulous. How about his father?
I kind of gloss over.
It's in there.
Well, the American here. It's divine, so.
His name was Amram, A-M-R-A-M, Amram. Amram and Yocheved were Moshe's parents. But here's what's fascinating. When it talks about Moshe's birth in the Torah, here's what it writes. A man went from the house of Levi, and he took a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was good. She hid him for 3 months. She couldn't hide him any longer. So she took for him a wicker basket. And we know the rest of the story. I read you the introduction of Moshe's birth. Can you tell me what his parents' names are?
No.
How weird is that? The Torah doesn't tell us at the point of his birth who Moshe's parents' names were? What? That's a little strange. We're told a little later what their names are, but the point of it, one indication of a point I'm going to make. I'm going to show you a second one. There's a character, I'm not sure if we will cover him as part of our curriculum or not, but there was a fellow by the name of Pinchas, Phineas, he's called in English. Much later in the Torah, there was a story that happened of where a very prominent, influential leader of one of the tribes had an illicit relations with a woman publicly. She was a Gentile woman, which obviously casts tremendous problem. And it was a big outrage. Pinchas, we're not going to get into the details of it, but Pinchas went ahead and he killed both of them. He killed both of them. Okay? God is pleased, is very pleased with his action and rewards Pinchas. But what's fascinating is when the Torah introduces us to the name Pinchas, it has a smaller, his name is spelled in Hebrew, Pei Yud Nun Ches Samach, Pinchas. The little Yud, which is already the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, is made even smaller in that one instance in his name. If you've heard me speak before, you know there are no coincidences in the Torah. If there's something written larger, smaller, the Torah means to emphasize a very important point. For example, there's in the famous expression, perhaps the motto of the Jewish people, where we say, listen, O Israel, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, right? Listen, O Israel, God is our God, God is one, Hashem is one. The last letter of the word Shema is an ayin. It's larger than all the others. And the last letter of the word Echad, God is one, the Dalet is also made larger. So in the one sentence, you have two letters that are almost like in bold italics, underlines, special font. Obviously, you can't do that in the Torah, but that's the point. An emphasis is being made. Why? Those two letters, Ayin and Dalet, together spell the word aid. Ayin Dalet spells aid, which in Hebrew means witness, bearing testimony. Because when we say those words, we are testifying to the most fundamental belief of being Jewish, a belief in one God. So there's an emphasis that the Torah wants to bring to our attention. Similarly, when we get to this fellow's name, Pinchas, the already small Yud becomes even smaller. Why? These two questions regarding Pinchas's small Yud and Moshe's parents being anonymous have the same message. From a Torah perspective, every mortal flesh and blood can become a superhero, can become a Moses. Average Joe and average Jane can have a Moses. Average Pinchas can step up to the plate in a time where it's necessary for him to do an action. Pinchas had no resume of being a leader. Pinchas didn't have any training. He was an average guy until that moment where he stepped up to the plate and said, this is what needs to be done. Why it had to be this way? Good question. Maybe when we cover Pinchas, we'll talk about it. But the point being that the Torah emphasizes that even the smallest of the small can become the great Pinchas. Even Mr. and Mrs. Anonymous can have a Moshe. There is no such thing as that someone is born out of being a superhero. Everyone can become great. Everyone. Yes, Liz.
I was imagining that the extra small Yud was kind of, God was pleased that he did this, but it's not such a great thing to do. So his name will have a mark that, like, don't be so impressed with yourself, Pinchas.
I can understand that, except the next few verses go overboard in terms of how much God rewarded him for his action.
So then why wouldn't the Yud have been an extra large Yud?
No, because prior to this event, he was the smallest of the small. He was you'll forgive the term, but for all intents and purposes, he was a nobody. He wasn't just a small Yud, he was a super small Yud. And yet, he had the wherewithal and the ability from within to step up when it was needed. That's a definition of leadership. That's a definition of being a hero. You know, there's a difference between stepping up and being chosen. Many, many times, if you go back and rethink it now, all of our superheroes, the Batmans and the Supermans and the Spider-Mans, they were chosen. They were chosen. It's not necessarily that they stepped up to do something, although With Spider-Man, it's a little different. Spider-Man actually, here's the quote, "Not everyone is meant to make a difference, but for me, the choice to live in an ordinary life is no longer an option." Spider-Man understood that he now has been given an ability that I can't just be average guy anymore. I need to step up because I have an ability. The truth of the matter is, there's not a person in this universe who doesn't have that ability. Everybody has something to contribute. And every single one of us should say, I can't just lead an ordinary life. That's not possible anymore because I have talents. I have abilities. I have things that the world can benefit from. I can't just be ordinary. I have to be extraordinary. Every single person has to take that approach. It's actually a Mishnah. The Mishnah makes it very clear that there are situations in life where someone needs to step up. And it doesn't have to be on a global scale. It could be something as simple as we need a volunteer to help us do a program. It could be something as simple as my car broke down and I promised to take someone to the doctor. Can you help me out here? There's a situation where someone needs to step in. The Mishnah reads as follows. It's taken from Pirkei Avos. I know, Liz, that's my favorite. We always go back to it. It's perfect. The Mishnah says, "B'makom she'ein ish," in a situation, in a place where there's no man, it doesn't mean male, it means where there's nobody to do it, "Hishtadel lihiot ish." You should strive to be that man. When something is lacking, something needs to be done, don't wait for someone else. So you step up to the plate and make it happen. That's the job. Every single person. That's what Spidey was saying. It's no longer an option. I've been given the ability to do something to benefit mankind, then I have to do it. I have to be that hero. It really is the quality of what a hero is supposed to be. A hero is someone who we should strive to emulate. We should be like the heroes. Does that make them perfect? Oh no, you find me any hero in the Torah that's perfect. I challenge you. You'll never find one. They don't exist. In fact, I truly believe that's why every superhero has not just a villain who's the antithesis, but also has something that they are susceptible to some other force. Superman, it's kryptonite. Because there has to be something. There is no perfect superhero. It can't be. Then it's not anything that's relatable. To come up with the perfect superhero that is perfect in every way, I would tune that out because what am I watching? I can't relate to this. Seeing how Superman gets in trouble and somehow manages to get out, hey, that's the story of my life. I faced a challenge like this. Hey, I can do this. Now it's relatable. So every single story in the Torah that we learn about a hero and or villain, because we have to look at it from the other perspective also, right? Has to be able to have some kind of flaw, some kind of human quality that makes them perhaps fallible. Duh. That's called life, man. That's our life. And that's what the beauty of studying the heroes and the villains, because now we can relate it to ourselves. Now, very quickly, I'll just want to say the following, because there's more that I can add to this. I'll give you one more example, and then we'll talk about another aspect to it. I think, Joe, your definition was very on the mark. In order to, I think you said to care for others, right? Did you use that term?
I think to help others.
To help others, okay. To me, that's a critical quality of every hero we have to study. Just to have good qualities, even if it's superhero qualities, but if it's not being utilized to benefit others, then in my book, you do not have hero status. You may be a wonderfully talented individual, but you're not a hero. A hero is someone who will utilize their talents to benefit others. Benefiting myself, that's called selfish. That's not a hero. A hero has to be. It's really, the truth is, it's not just in terms of large scale, in a very small way. Every little bit you use your talents to help and benefit others, you've now moved from selfish to hero. That's what it is. Let's take an example. Okay. And my goal is that we're going to come up with 5, 6, 7, depending on how many we can get through. We'll pick different heroes and villains. Oh, speaking of villains, in the super comics, you know, the villains that are portrayed for the most part are evil incarnate. There's not a redeeming element in them. Okay, at the end of a series, sometimes they show a little crack in the armor about the villain, that maybe there's a soft spot in their heart and they can do, as Pam says, they can do tshuva. Okay, but for the most part, the villains are evil, evil, evil through and through. Well, there are very few villains in the Torah like that. There are some. There are a few. But for the most part, any villain that we're going to study, I think we also have to look at it the same way we do for a hero, to see the flaw, the human element. We have to give them, the villain, that there is some redeeming quality in them as well. And we have to be able to learn from them. Just throwing it out there. Esau, right? Jacob's twin brother. Okay, we generally think Jacob's the good guy and Esau's the bad guy. And you wouldn't be wrong. But you can't totally say that Esau has no redeeming qualities. The Talmud identifies and says that his ability to honor his father was of an extraordinary level. The amount of respect that he showed and gave to his father, some of the sages in the Talmud say they don't even come one-eighth of what Esav did, and these guys went all out. We have to be able to find those qualities in the villains as well. Because from a Torah perspective, it's a rare, rare, rare breed that is so far gone that there's only evil left. So there is that, I think we should also take to heart. And that is when we see people like that, that we consider not good. I'm being generous, right? That we really don't see. There's got to be something. We have to dig deep sometimes, but there's some redeeming quality, and we can't just wipe the floor and say, nothing. Okay. But as I said before, the major risk factor, the major risk factor of every superhero, whether it's in the comics or in the Torah, is that they are susceptible to some kind of force, some kind of, you know, kryptonite. In the Torah, what those things are called human character traits. That's the flaw. That's what it is. It could be arrogance. It could be greed. It could be lust. It could be any character trait that could potentially be damaging to the person. There's no such thing officially as kryptonite in the Torah, right? But the concept is such that a person has susceptibility. The person has certain things about them that don't allow them or are acting as a deterrent for them to accomplish what they need to by using their abilities. In plain, simple English, those are character traits. Character traits. The more superpowers you have, the more susceptible you are to falling prey to human characteristics that will drag you down. If you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. The higher the position a person has, the more susceptible they are to think they're arrogant, They're above the law. They can get away with things. How dare you speak? Honor, you know who you're talking to. There's all of those. If you're a humble person, those things don't bother you. Okay. You know how many pieces of mail I get that say Mr. Tzvi Tachman? Oh my God. How dare they? What do you mean, Mr.? Do they not know I'm a rabbi? I worked my tuchus off to get that rabbinic degree. Huh. That's it. I'm not even opening the letter. Now, mind you, on the top of it, it says IRS. So, you know, it's a good idea to open it. No, I'm just kidding. Right? Certain people, they get all bent out of shape because you called them Mr. and not doctor or not rabbi. Okay. That's not my thing. But the higher up, so to say, the more abilities you have means, from a Torah perspective, the more responsibilities you have and the more susceptible you are. You better be on guard for it. It's for that reason that the highest position in Judaism, the king, has a special mitzvah that's unique to the king. No other Jew at that time would have that mitzvah. The mitzvah of always carrying a small Torah with him wherever he goes. There's a special mitzvah for the Jewish king to have a Torah with him wherever he goes. Why? Because it needs to be a constant reminder. You may be the top dog, but don't forget, you have to follow the same law that average guy does. You're no higher, no lower. You have the same mitzvah to put on tefillin. You have the same mitzvah of eating kosher. You have the same mitzvah. Whatever the laws apply to average guy, apply to you too. You're not above the law. He's most susceptible. Therefore, he carries a Torah with him to help him stay focused on his task. My goal in this class, as we go through it, is to look at different biblical characters. Some of them will be pretty obvious that they're in the hero camp, the Moses, Miriams of the world. Some will be obviously in the villain camp, like the Hamans of the world, right? But there'll be some that I think we're going to have to re-examine. We may have thought about, you know, like Esav is a good example, right? We may have just said, okay, he's not good. He's got this, that. I would never name my child. But it deserves another look. There's more to Esav. And we're going to find certain characters that it's not clear cut. Are they hero or villain or both? Or maybe they're like many of us, that we have different eras, different periods in our life where we go up and we go down. Some days we're the hero and some days, unfortunately, we're the villain. But this is my goal, is to look at different biblical characters and to look at it from this perspective of what are their strengths, what makes them a hero, the characteristics that we should learn to emulate, but what's their kryptonite? What's the character development, perhaps the character trait that they're challenged with, that maybe they sometimes fall prey to? Maybe most of the time they're able to succeed, but what's their story? Did they fail? And if they did, how did they deal with it? We can learn a lot about a hero, not only from their successes, but from their failures and challenges and how they overcome. That is my hope for this class. Let me hear your thoughts on this.
I think it sounds great. I want to whip out a notebook and take notes.
Well, the good news is that we're recording them, so you can always review this in the middle of the night, because when you can't sleep, you're like, oh, what did Rabbi
hear? So, you know, I think it sounds great.
Are there any heroes or villains that you're interested in? I didn't finish preparing everything yet.
I'm curious to hear, you know, what are the redeeming qualities of a Haman, or, you know, what was wrong with Joshua, for example? You know, so this is intriguing.
Good. I like that.
So I was surprised when you said Haman, because I was thinking, well, maybe it's that the villains that are not 100% villain, it's only going to be the Jewish villains, because like you know, the Amaleks and Ahasuerus.
Maybe.
I don't remember anything redeeming.
Okay.
So that's so as Joe was saying, like, that's really interesting.
Okay. Any other ones? Any other biblical characters you can think of that would be of interest that you want to explore?
Well, I'm going to be very outrageous because I've always struggled with Jacob.
He's a hard one.
I really am not. I have difficulty with some of the things Jacob did. So I'm very ambivalent toward him, even though nobody would say he's a villain.
You question certain actions of his. Okay, absolutely. That's fair. That's fair. I think that's a fair point. Very fair. I'll let the next teacher deal with that one. All right. I mean, listen. You can think about it more. I mean, I'm going to prepare a few that I'm familiar with, and I'll see what I can address. But by all means, let me know. I think this has a lot of potential.
And I want to know about women heroes.
Yes. I was working with tonight. I was actually going to talk about Miriam. She was going to be my heroine for the night. But we'll talk about Miriam. She's truly amazing. Truly, truly amazing. Not because that's who my granddaughter's name for, but whatever, I'm just saying.
But it would be nice to have a mix of ones we know, whether they're heroes or villains, and also ones that we don't know, like a Pinchas.
Right, right. So you're learning my style, Liz. I like that, because that's exactly what I intended. I like to take what people know and build on it and take it to exactly. You figured me out. How many years? 7, 10? How many years have we been doing this?
A long time.
Great. All right. So I think this is good. So why don't we put out a couple of possible dates? I'm going to pause the recording here. But anyway, thank you.